It's here and now, and a tender topic now. What to do if an unborn baby is diagnosed with a fatal syndrome? Allison Chang, a fourth-year medical student in Massachusetts, and her husband were confronted with that question when they found out their unborn daughter had trisomy 18, which occurs in one in every 2,500 pregnancies and causes severe developmental delays because of an extra chromosome 18. Former Senator Rick Santorum and his wife chose to have their daughter, even though doctors warned of the trisomy 18 diagnosis. She's now 10 and seems very disabled, but the Santorums say she is thriving. Well, Allison Chang said her daughter had problems so severe they were planning on ending the pregnancy. When it ended naturally, the child died in the womb. The Changs then went through an emotionally devastating removal with the help of a loving medical community. But Allison soon discovered that not everyone has access to the help she got for this horrible choice because of the erosion of choice. She wrote about her experience and the experience of others. We'll link you at herenow.org as she joins us. Allison, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
First, so sorry for your loss. It's
thank you.
Still a terrible loss. But why did you decide to end the pregnancy? What were you learning, and as a medical student, understanding maybe more than others would?
I just want to be clear that I'm not advocating that all couples and all families make the same choices that we did. Instead, I wanted to make the point that ending a pregnancy under these circumstances can be a loving, compassionate, and medically reasonable choice. And I strongly feel that regardless of what families choose to do in this kind of situation, healthcare professionals and just the community as a whole should be there to support them financially, emotionally, and medically. And that was my main point.
And because also, as you explained to us, trisomy 18 varies. It's on a sort of a spectrum, if I'm reading
yes.
this correctly, and it can be serious, but less severe than it was for your daughter. Your daughter had a very mm-hmm. severe case. What were some of her issues?
Yes. So the pregnancy progressed normally until we went for our nuchal translucency scan, which can tell you how at risk is this baby for chromosomal abnormalities. And the probe hit my belly, and about 2 seconds later, the radiologist who was doing the ultrasound just said, "Oh, I don't like the look of this, Allison." And basically, there was fluid everywhere, fluid surrounding the lung, fluid in the lymphatic ducts in the neck. And this is when I started thinking about what is she able to feel of all of this? Because if an adult had this level of fluid in their bodies, they would be devastated.
And let's just go over some of the facts that you remind us of. Most babies with trisomy 18 die before they are born. The majority who make it to term die within 5 to 15 days. The few who live past 1 year have terrible health problems, like not having abdominal wall muscles, pain and discomfort, and fatal at some point. And your concern was her and her feeling any of this. And my understanding is that's why you made the decision you did.
Yeah, I mean, I think knowing what life-sustaining interventions can look like is something that I think we've been able to see as people in the medical field that other people might not see. What she would likely be looking at if she were born, you know, that's not something we would want to wish. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy, and this was my child that I was thinking about. So it had a lot more to do with managing end of life rather than any sort of political feeling about what we should and shouldn't be able to choose.
Well, and then you went to listen to the heartbeat one day, and she was gone. You know, she had died.
Yeah.
And you went through what, you know, anyone who's lost a child or miscarried knows. It's just terrible grief. So sorry. But now, while you were planning on an abortion because of the tremendous fetal distress, you now have to have the deceased fetus removed. And both of these processes were available in your hospital. You had surgery, you went under. You had caring doctors. You had insurance coverage and a genetics counselor. You were given the remains and a tiny urn to hold and grieve. And it sounds as good as an experience of that kind can get. And then you came across a woman named Jamie, who also decided to end a pregnancy because of trisomy 18. She had none of that. Here's where you remind us of different state to state. 26 states prohibit abortion coverage under the Affordable Care Act marketplace plans. 11 states extend that restriction to private insurance companies. And only one state, Utah, makes an exception in the case of severe fetal impairment, which is what this is. So are you saying that somebody with the same kind of terrible fetal impairment can't get an abortion covered by insurance in a hospital she had to go to a clinic rather than a hospital?
So she's actually someone I met through a pregnancy loss support group on the internet. And I was trying to find information online about what do people do when they're in the situation where they know that they're going to lose a pregnancy. And the advice that I got from that time was, you know, treat the baby as much as a living, like a living child as possible. And this kind of came as a surprise to me in a way, because that's just so different from how I'd heard people talk about abortion in the past. And she found this same pregnancy loss support group when her own child was diagnosed with trisomy 18. And the first thing I was confused about was the fact that she didn't have the kind of placental biopsy that I had. This is known as chorionic villus sampling, and it's basically what you do if you're a little too early to get an amniocentesis. But she had a couple different screening tests, basically, which can tell you how at risk you are of having this kind of diagnosis. But it's not a diagnosis itself. But that was still kind of the first little bit of a red flag to me about, like, oh, she is not getting the same care that I'm getting.
What you found is that she lives in Missouri, which is one of those states, as all states are except Utah, that doesn't cover pregnancy termination in the case of severe fetal impairment. The hospital is going to charge her $8,000. They didn't have that. They had to go to a clinic that offered abortions. Past protesters, you know, shouting at them as they went in. She is in a chair with, you know, feet in stirrups, gets a simple shot and is sort of awake through the procedure. And then afterwards doesn't get the things that, you know, you'd been learning online that people might want, the remains to bury or... it's just a completely different experience.
Yeah, that really, to me, spoke to the fact that these policies don't just affect the destitute and the uneducated, but this is something that extends well beyond that. These are upper middle class young professionals.
Well, I was going to say that if they hadn't been able to afford that $8,000, and then there were extra costs on top of that, the fetus was determined to be older, and that cost a little bit more, and if they hadn't been able to afford that, what? She might have had to deliver a child that was tremendously harmed and statistically probably wouldn't have lived.
Yeah, and coming off of my experience, I recognized how privileged I was kind of abstractly at the time. Then hearing her experience with just all of these horrific challenges on top of that.
Like the crowd of protesters, she had a walkthrough at the facility that offered abortions. What were they yelling?
So, you know, they were saying, that's daddy's little girl you're killing. And to be going through this experience and to have people shouting this, to me, speaks to the fact that people don't totally understand all of the reasons that people pursue abortion. And I think as a community, we have a responsibility to make sure that the most vulnerable are protected. And I think that for a lot of people, they would argue that the fetus is the most vulnerable here. But I think that we should place more trust in parents to choose what is best for their families and support them in that.
Well, you make it clear that it's not, it, you know, yes, you wish your friend had had better treatment, but you make it clear, the bottom line, it is for the fetus, it is for the unborn child to protect them from pain.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think knowing the statistics, to me, I wanted to spare her from having that kind of experience of what she was actually going through.
It sounds like others have supported your choice, maybe been enraged, as some people are, about your friend's lack of choice. But has that helped?
I mean, it's so heartwarming to get letters of support from people sending their condolences, saying that they would have made a similar decision or that they actually have made a similar decision. So having the opportunity to hear that from so many different people and strangers, it's been a really wonderful experience.
And by the way, we understand you are pregnant again, and testing has shown that the child is clear of the trisomy 18.
Yes.
So congratulations and our best to you.
Thank you. Thanks so much. And at this point, we're cautiously optimistic that everything's going to be okay.
That's Allison Chang, fourth-year medical student at Harvard Medical School, who wrote about losing a child in the womb to trisomy 18. She lives in Massachusetts, got financial and medical and emotional support through insurance in her hospital. But she also tells the story of a woman who wanted to end the same kind of pregnancy, who lives in Missouri and couldn't get insurance or hospital care. Allison, thank you so much for speaking with us, and best of luck to you.
Thanks so much.